Shall we pray? Father, we give you glory and honor, worship and praise as we bow our hearts before you, Lord, asking you for the word that will set us free, asking you for the word of grace that will build us so that we will receive your inheritance, so that we will take possession of the land that you have opened before us, Father. Father God, we pray that you will move in our hearts today, Lord, breaking down strongholds that have been built into our lives, O God, through our sins, through, O God, falsehood that we have received in our hearts, Father. And we pray for every shackle of the enemy to be broken within us. You know the form. You know, O God, the substance of those things, Lord. And we pray that they will be removed from our hearts, that we will be moved into a reality of repentance before you, Father, that we will truly humble our hearts, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But we know, Father, that in the name of Jesus, in the merits of the Lamb, you have given all of us a reality of new life, Lord. And we pray for that reality of new life to be manifested to us. So bless each one of us, O God, as we hear the word that talks of repentance and change, Lord. We bless you and thank you for what you are about to give us in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. If my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. I want to talk about repentance. Sometimes it's like we think that repentance is something that once we have heard of it, that's it. But repentance is a process that we have to develop in a lifestyle. We live in a sinful world and we are exposed to the spirit of the world all the time. And we need to have in our heart a sense of being a people in repentance, a people who have a willingness to see God change and transform our lives. See, God has chosen us as a people who will unveil His blessings and His promises. We are a chosen people. God has saved us in the blood of Jesus. God has given us salvation. The purpose of that salvation is to make us a blessing. We have a responsibility. We have a duty before God to be the blessing that God wants us to be. See, Christianity is not just about being saved and going to heaven. Christianity is having a sense of purpose and having a destiny of what God has for you. To unfold what God has purposed over your life, as the Bible says, from the foundations of the world. You have a purpose in God. It is your responsibility to discover that purpose. Sometimes we find that difficult. One of the reasons why we find that difficult is because we are not willing to address things that have happened to us in the past. We find it difficult. We think that the wrongs we have done in the past will magically disappear. There are some things that have been manifested in our lives that are a festering wound. Sometimes that festering wound is in the life of somebody else. Sometimes that festering wound is within us. And unless those wounds are healed, unless we open avenues by which those wounds are healed, you will find that wounds are always the basis on which the devil builds strongholds over your life. If you have gone through a traumatic hurt in the past, you will find that one of those effects of going through a traumatic hurt in the past is to stop you from being able to open your heart before God. You are afraid. That's one of the reasons why Satan is called the accuser of the brethren. The purpose in which he means to accuse you is so that he can inflict wounds into you. Spiritual wounds. Wounds that will hurt you such that you dare not open your heart or open yourself. So that you will not discover the blessings that God has for you. All of us come from a sinful past. All of us have sinned. The degree of sin may vary, but sin is sin. And one of the things God is saying in the passage we just read from 2 Chronicles is that if my people turn their hearts towards God, ask God to bring forgiveness into their lives. If my people turn to me, seek my face, I will heal their land. The land is that sphere that God has called you to occupy and live in. You have a sphere of influence. And that sphere of influence is not static. It's going to grow over time. It's going to grow over eternity. The Bible says that one day nations will walk in the reality of the light of your rising. That's an awesome destiny. But for us to go into that destiny, we have to deal with the hurts of our past. We have to deal with those things that have crippled us. So let's turn to the book of Matthew. Chapter 5, from verse 20. For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpass that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder, and whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court, and whoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court, and whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. If therefore you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offerings. These are very hard words for many of us to accept. But Jesus is telling us something very important. That there are spiritual realities of darkness that can destroy our potentials in God. The Bible says in the book of Psalms that you and I are fearfully and wonderfully made. In that same psalm, if you read 3 verses down, you will also hear that God has vast thoughts over each one of us. So God's potentials over your life and my life is a very vast potential. God's ambition over your life and my life is very vast. One of the things we have to learn in the kingdom of God is to walk into those things that God has for us. Now for us to be able to walk into the things that God has for us, one of the things we have to deal with is our past. We can't just simply ignore our past. Now, one of the greatest strong hindrances to our growth is hurts we have inflicted on other people. Hurts we have inflicted on other people. Things that we have done that are very, very wrong. We have to deal with them. Maybe you have betrayed someone. You have betrayed somebody's trust. Maybe you cheated someone. Right? Maybe you presented yourself under false pretenses to somebody else, took advantage of them and just walked out on them. Maybe you got into a relationship which you never honored over time. There are things that we have done that are not right before God. And God's answer to those things is for us to be able to address the wrongs we have done in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's solution for everything is Jesus Christ. But we must learn how to be able to trust God and deal with those things we have done in the past. If there are people you have hurt, one of the first things you need to do is to go back to them, preferably face to face, and ask them to forgive you. Now, whether that guy forgives you or not is a different question. But you have to ask for that forgiveness. You have to ask, you have to tell them straight to their faces, I have wronged you. I've done things to you that I should never have done. I led you into things that I should never have led you into. I have sinned against you. Please forgive me. You need to do that. It may be your own parents, maybe your own brother, maybe your own sister, maybe your best friend. Maybe someone you have used the wrong way in order to get ahead in life. Maybe a colleague in your office. But you need to go out and tell them that you have sinned against them and ask them to forgive you. Many people will say that is difficult. That is only difficult because of your pride. But you have to recognize something, that you have done something wrong. And that wrong has to be addressed before God. You're not going to that person just because of that person. You're going before that person. You're going to that person before God. And you're asking God to break the curse over your life. Always remember this, sin is a curse. And the Bible says that sin have this habit of going down the generations. So if you have done something wrong, you need to address that squarely, not bury it and think it will go away. Because if you don't address it, it will probably manifest in your child's life. It will manifest in the generations that follow your children. Because a festering wound is the means by which, in spiritual terms, you have opened the door for the enemy to come in. You see, Adam and Eve were created in a perfect world. The moment they chose to disobey God, the moment they chose not to take God at His word, they opened doors for the enemy. And we've seen that effect of that flowing through generations after generations. Right? They opened the doors and their two children, one killed the other. Right? We need to understand that sin is a serious thing. That we have to deal with sin because sin has this ability to propagate after its likeness. Because sin is spiritual. Spiritual in form. And just like you can impart an anointing to someone by praying over somebody, you can also operate in the opposite by cursing somebody. That's the basis on which witchcraft operates. That's the basis on which sorcery operates. Many of us think that only bomos and witch doctors and evil people manifest witchcraft. All of us can manifest witchcraft. Now, one of the things we experienced in the charismatic movement is when we saw Christians operate in witchcraft. That means projecting their thoughts, their desires over somebody else's life. All right? When you hurt somebody, that person reacts to you. And that person in their heart has got something that they cast over your life because you have hurt them. And that has a legal basis simply because you have allowed that curse, right? You allowed that curse to manifest itself. And you have to deal with it, right? If the person has died, then you deal with it before God, all right? But you need to deal with it until God gives you a peace in your heart that He's removed that stain from your life, right? So you need to understand that sin has to be addressed in your life. If you are a married couple and you know that one partner has done something wrong, you need to understand that that partner's sin will affect you too. So do not think that it is that person's problem. That's my wife's problem. That's my husband's problem. No, it's both your problems. And do not think that that problem will end with my husband and my wife, with husband and wife. No, it will also touch your children. Because once you open the door, the Bible says that the enemy will come in like a flood. And because it is a spiritual manifestation, it can manifest spiritually in darkness. So if you have done things in your life that are not right, you need to go back and take them before God. Right? All things start with God. You need to fast and pray and ask God to open the doors to let you know how you are going to close this door that you have opened in your past. Take it to God. Do not try and work solutions in the natural. They won't work because natural solutions do not address spiritual problems. Sin is a spiritual problem. It has manifestations in the natural, but everything that happens in the natural is manifested first spiritually. Are you with me? If you had a grandfather, for instance, who was a witch doctor who used to practice black magic, you can be sure it was going to hit your families for generations. And you have to take that before the Lord and you have to repent for your grandfather. You have to stand in the gap and say, Lord, I renounce the sins of my grandfather. I renounce every form of witchcraft. I ask you to forgive us and our family for all the evil that he has done. Because if your grandfather was a witch doctor, he probably destroyed many lives. He probably literally murdered a lot of people. And you need to understand that by law, if you have read the Old Testament, you will understand that the law in the Old Testament was an eye for an eye. Right? If I killed someone in your family, you have a right over someone in my family. That's a spiritual law. That's how the devil operates. That's what he claims. But in Jesus Christ, we have grace. In Jesus Christ, we have a faith and a love that transcends all darkness. And so we must find the faith and love of Jesus that will enable us to close those doors of the past. Hello. We all come from non-Christian backgrounds, all of us sitting here, right? You can be sure that in the generations that you represent, a whole bunch of nonsense has been done. Now you need to ask the Lord to deliver you from the past, from the generational curses. Let me point to you what God is talking about under the law. Exodus chapter 34. Verse 6 and 7. Now this is a passage that comes about after God, after Moses asks God, show me your glory. Verse 6, then the Lord passed by in front of him and proclaimed, the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations. And Moses made haste to bow low toward the earth and worship. Serious words. God first talks about his nature and he says, I'm prepared to forgive sin. But he says, I will nonetheless visit the results of your sin on you and your generations. Pretty serious words. If you're wondering why generational curses do take place, why things can affect us from the past or from things that my forefathers have done, you need to understand that this is where it is coming from. Now what God is saying is that there is a spiritual law that mandates this. And you have to address that spiritual law by rising to something that has addressed that spiritual law. So if you go to the cross of Jesus Christ, you will find that in the cross of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are doing." In the cross, Jesus released a faith and a love that will be able to give you a future. Now, how God chooses to judge your situations and circumstances, I do not know. Only God is the judge. But you have to take hold of the fact that His judgments will be tempered by Jesus' sacrifice over your life. And you have to address those things. If you're wondering why, when you want to draw closer to God, there seems to be something that is blocking you, the reasons is because there is something spiritual that has probably manifested from what you have done, or what something has been done by those who have gone before you. And that's one of the reasons why you find it hard to open your heart before God. It's like there is a spiritual block. And there is like literally a spiritual block. And that spiritual block has to be broken. That spiritual block has to be broken. That stronghold has to be broken. You have to stand in